My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. She joins us at every key point in major healthcare debates, and certainly we've had many of them since the onset of the Affordable Care Act and now the American Healthcare Act, which has passed the House but faces a much more uncertain future in the Senate. And Grace Marie, thanks very much for being with us.
Nice to be with you, Greg.
Well, last I heard, the House hasn't formally sent the bill over to the Senate. They were waiting for the CBO score that came out and was fairly similar to the previous CBO score. There's been a lot of talk, as you know, from certain senators, groups of senators, that the House version is either dead on arrival or will require gutting, or they're going to build their own bill from scratch. What are you hearing on the Senate side right now?
Well, they did have to wait until they got the CBO score to make sure that the House bill complied with the promised deficit savings. And in fact, CBO said it did. And so they sent it over to the Senate just before the Memorial Day recess. And the Senate has staffers have been very hard at work compiling all of the information that they've gotten from senators who are themselves very personally engaged in putting together their own version of the American Healthcare Act. I think that they really are going to wind up having to move in much the same direction as the House bill does. It does four key things. First of all, it has to rescue the people currently on Obamacare, many of whom are facing the prospect of having no plans in their counties to be able to get coverage with the tax credit that they're eligible for. The plans will be too expensive for them to afford on their own, and they will lose coverage. They cannot let that happen. They've got to rescue people from Obamacare. At the same time, they need to provide people with better options going forward. The Obamacare exchanges are collapsing. The rules just did not work the way they were trying to basically rewrite the rules of economics and human behavior, and people have figured out how to game the system. Young people and healthy people are not getting in, so the pools are sicker and older and therefore more expensive. They've got to figure out how to allow the states to approve the kinds of plans people actually want to buy and make those plans affordable. They also have to figure out how they are going to help with the Medicaid reform agenda, because Medicaid is bankrupting many states. The states are not able to pay for education, public transportation, roads, bridges, public safety, because their Medicaid budgets are eating up so much of their state resources. So giving states more control over Medicaid and then giving the authority to be able to approve the kinds of plans through the regulatory changes they need to make that actually will give people more flexibility to buy plans that they want to buy, because when this law passes, the federal government is no longer going to be forcing people to purchase coverage. So it has to be incentives rather than the mandates and the clubs that were used in Obamacare.
So, Grace Marie, the people that have said it's dead on arrival or they can't support it as it currently exists, we're talking about senators like Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Dean Heller, which just by themselves is enough to kill this thing, because most likely no Democrats will go along with it. Do they misunderstand it? Will they come up with a different bill that gets pretty close on some of these things? I know they were particularly worried about pre-existing conditions. Or is this going to be a while? Richard Burr says probably not this year. Mitch McConnell said maybe 2020. So how confident are you something's going to get done here?
I think they if they're going to do this with only 51 votes in the Senate, they have to do it by September. And frankly, I think they want to do it before the August recess so they can get on with the rest of the agenda, because it's backed up behind getting health reform done. They can't do tax reform and many other things that they want to tackle. So they need to get this done so they can get on with the rest of the agenda. And I don't think any of them want to go back to the voters in 2018, next year, and say, oh, sorry, four elections we told you we were going to repeal Obamacare, and we just kind of couldn't figure out how to do it. I think they all know they have to figure out how to do it. I'm wondering if maybe everybody's saying we can't do this because they don't want to raise expectations, when the bottom line is they all know they need to do it, and they will make some changes to the House bill. And they will very much call it their own. But I think a lot of those structural elements of the safety net, the bridge to new coverage, the state flexibility on regulations, and the Medicaid reform. I think we're going to see all of that in there, but the Senate is going to dial things back in different ways and probably provide more protections even than the House bill did for pre-existing condition protections. I do think that that has been an inflamed issue that is really very much overstated. The House bill provided $138 billion to the states to be able to take care of people who have pre-existing conditions, who have high health care costs, and all evidence is that that would be more than enough to do it, especially if they're able to blend Medicaid dollars with exchange dollars, with state children's health insurance dollars, so that the person getting these benefits will be able to have a much more generous plan, very likely than they can now, because the money would be aggregated around the individual instead of separated out into all of these silos that just wind up becoming more bureaucratic, more expensive, and really less helpful for people.
I know you've got to run, Grace Marie, just a quick 15, 20 seconds. How much can the House Republicans allow the Senate to perhaps moderate on a few things before the very slim majority in the House becomes a question on when they ever reconcile these things?
Well, that's really is a very good question. The House did try very hard to bend over backwards so that its version of the legislation complied with Senate rules. So that's sort of odd. The House is writing legislation to comply with Senate rules because they didn't want the Senate to have to change it too much. So I think everybody knows that whatever the Senate gets through, the House is going to have a very difficult time changing it. I think it's going to very likely be take it or leave it, but the House is also in regular communication with the senators and with the people writing this Senate version of the bill, so that it's very likely, as it's being written, to incorporate many of the House concerns. But then who knows, after we went through in March, when it really was not able to come to the floor, a few people can derail it. But you've just got to look at that bottom line, that none of them want to go to the voters and say, we failed. They've got to figure out a way to get this done and to do it in a way that helps people and doesn't hurt them the way they are going to be hurt if Obamacare fails.
Grace Marie, we'll keep watching. I know you will very intently. Thanks very much for your time today.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.